You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WISS. Of course, the Civic Media app. We are joined by Jeff Larson, Green Bay Sail and Paddle. And you know, we always say some of our best conversations happen during the breaks. Jeff just telling us about a dream vacation, a month in Italy you just got back from.
And well-deserved, by the way. Your wife had her big birthday and retired.
And she retired. We celebrated. And
been planning for years to do this?
It's been a while.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us. I mean, we got a little bit of time here. We're going to get to your sail. Not the saddle. We got those, the equestrian people are coming in later. Tell us about it. I mean, Italy's great. A lot of people have been there. Not everyone has.
Yeah, we had a great variety of big town, Venice and Rome, and small. Going to a lot of the hill cities in Tuscany, especially, was where we were centered. It was just amazing food, amazing wine.
Do the people speak English generally?
There are a lot of, and we just encountered, everyone was so gracious and wonderful. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Now, you did some driving.
Yes.
How would you recommend an American driving around Italy or not?
You definitely have to be aware, defensive.
Okay.
Pedestrians are almost as bad as the cars.
Really?
Because there's so many scooters and things going on, especially the big city. If you're a pedestrian, you have to look and go. You can't have any hesitation.
Okay.
And they'll stop. But yeah, as I mentioned before, every driver, I think Italian driver believes they're Mario Andretti, and they are going for it.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Are they aggressive drivers?
I would say very aggressive would be my.
I think that'd be a blast.
Me too.
It'd be fun to drive.
I would want to get into it with somebody over there. You know?
No. And then another thing we just had fun with is how many, you know, they talk with their hands.
Yeah.
And it's just like when you start really zeroing in on that, it's like it's a whole entertainment in and of itself.
But that country is, for the tourism they get, is not really like ADA compliant, right? I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, no.
You what know, does that mean?
Well, like Americans expect, you know, escalators, elevators, to be with American disabilities.
Yeah,
wheelchairs, and they're not. It's like, you're not going to see.
So my son Dom is huge into genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has gone to the Czech Republic where his mom's family's from, and he's gone to those churches where they're built in 1500. Then he can get on the computer and he traces his family tree back to like the 1500s or 1600s. So it's all computerized. You know what he can't do? Trace our Italian family, because it's like, nah, we didn't get to it yet. We didn't put it on the internet yet. Come to the church in the such and such village and go there and get it.
Yeah. So a little slow with the
they're
data.
They're a little slow with the data. He said Germany is unbelievably proficient.
Yeah.
Czech Republic, unbelievably proficient.
Yeah.
Italy, not so much.
So 30 days is a long time. To do it, really, I think that's a long time. I think we were there a couple times, but one, I think, was 14. I was going crazy. I want to get back. You know what I mean? But 30 days.
Hey, okay.
What?
You were going crazy. You want to get back from the onslaught to wherever you were at the other day.
3-4
You're just, I've been with you at things. It's like, okay, let's go. We got to go. We've been here long enough. Let's go.
I mean, I like.
You have zero patience for anything.
I don't. I like going, but I love coming home. So anyway, tell us about the tour you took, because people are hesitant to tours, and you mixed it up, which was smart. We did that as well, but I'm. You're the first. No, you're not. But anyway, tell us about the tour.
That tour guide is so important.
That tour guide. And you're not the first person that took this. Rick. But anyway, tell us about that.
Sure. Well, we came into Florence. We flew in and out of Florence. We came in 2 days before tour started. We did an 11-day tour with Rick Steves, who's on PBS. And
I would bet you 90% of our listeners have seen him, because he's so good, so popular, and people just love him. Now, he personally wasn't there, was he?
No, he had a guy that actually had his own business for 18 years and was with Rick Steves for 11. So the guy was great.
Was he his knowledgeable. I mean, that Rick Steves is unbelievable.
He just knew everything.
That's cool.
David was his name. David. But yeah, so we did 11 days tour, and then we did 17 days on our own. So a nice mix. Driving, I did 5 days of driving, which was plenty.
Was it kind of like a little bit white now, like tension? Because some of those mountain roads are tough, right?
Oh, yeah, we did mountain roads with switchbacks. It's the kind of stuff you see on Tour de France where the bikers, you know, go off the end of the road and that's the end of them and, you know, stuff like that. So it was, everything was beautiful. Everything was enchanting.
And were you kind of being tailgated as you did that?
Oh, God. Yeah. My wife would get on me because I'm going like, I got to find a pull off. I got to either pick up. She's like, or I would naturally start to pick up because I had one, two, then six, then eight cars behind me. And she's like, just go your own pace. I'm like, it's so hard when they're pushing you, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think they always knew it was an American driving?
I bet they did. I think so.
Yeah.
I'd have tapped you a few times.
It might have been a few other international other drivers, but they knew it wasn't local.
Right. So food-wise, because again, this is still my dream to go to Northern Italy. I'm not into the Rome type things, whatever. But Northern Italy, where my family's from. But I like the old, authentic type food. What kind of thing? Because I don't know if you've seen the show Stanley Tucci eats his way through Italy or whatever. I love that he goes to these little villages where, you know, they're eating these snails from a whatever. And not that I want to do, but, you know, the real authentic type of food over there. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, food was amazing. Just everywhere we went, one was just better than the next. It was outstanding wine, local. They all had their own things, and they really push freshness and local.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because they don't have the transportation system, and they don't have, you know, and they take pride that it's grown on their hill. You know, it's everyone thinks their olive oil and their wine is just the best, and you taste it and you go like, I agree. But then you go to the next village and it's like, no. Yeah. They might be better. No, maybe I'm just more hungry that day. Or
you know what's funny? I had a friend who, from way back, who was in the army over there, okay? Well, he's in the army in Germany. And went to Italy on a little vacation type thing, okay? And he got to be really good friends with this one little village, you know, wine type place and everything like that. And they said, and the guy asked, he goes, well, are you American or German? And he says, well, we're American. You know, he goes, oh, okay, we're going to give you this good wine. He goes, oh, but I thought that expensive stuff there would be. But he says, no, he says, I'll tell you what. He said, we still hate the Germans. We still hate the Krauts, as we call them. So you know what we do? We give them our cheapest wine, tell them it's their most expensive wine, and they don't know the difference. They all talk about this great wine, and it's the cheapest stuff we have. An Italian would spit it up, and we tell the Germans, oh, it's so great, and they believe us. So, I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff over there where it's like...
Well, they got their history, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's interesting, too. The history is, we think of it as such an old country, and the Roman Empire and all that, but they're a country... for less time than the United States.
Really?
Yeah, it was like in the 1860s, 1870s is when they became Italy.
Before
that, it was 17 principalities, and that's why, like, Florence and Siena fought for 1,000 years. You know, they're like, that's why every town is built on a hill.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. One thing Dom did find is there is a little bit of, I hate to say this, almost like inbreeding in my families where like second cousins or something, because they were so isolated, there almost like was no other place to go when they had a donkey or whatever, you know, way back. And I mean, that's the way it was sometimes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't see manbread, do I?
With the donkey, I have to think through this thing.
Maybe
hey,
too
tell
far.
Us about, yeah. tell our listeners though about how you're at a restaurant and then just the entertainment that just like appears.
Oh yeah. We've had it several times.
That's, that's the beauty of Italy.
Yeah. We were at one place and two guys just walking around. They're in costume. They got instruments, guitars. And I said, oh, what's going on? Are you done with a performance or heading to one? Oh no. You want to hear something? And he starts playing, you know, so, we were in a market. This is a previous time to Italy. And it was a Rick Steves moment. We were in this little town and they had their market going on. And I had just seen a show about that community. And here's a guy with flowers at the flower market, at the market, farmer's market type of thing. And I knew that he had sang opera on the show. And I went up to him and I had my camera on record. And I said, you know, my wife and friend are here and they just love opera. Could you do a number? And he just broke into singing.
That awesome.
You know?
What part did you like the best? Like, if you only had a week and they said, hey, we're going to give you a free trip to Italy, you're going to spend 1 week in one area, what area would it be?
It would be Tuscany, yeah. But I'd probably still move around between a couple communities. I loved Lucca. That was just...
something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's some people from Green Bay that live over there. You know that? Because
yeah.
That's such a paper capital. And, you know, Lucca's surrounded by the wall. So you go... I mean, it's just... the design of that community is, I don't, obviously back from when they were fighting. But, yeah, Lucca is... there's a few people in Green Bay. And that there's
actually,
a lot of paper...
I'm getting some texts saying that.
Paper industry. Yeah, Lucca's beautiful.
Yeah.
And we went... to an opera there too, which was just unbelievable. I remember I was with a guy from the chamber, and the guy's like, "We should, what should we wear tonight?" And he goes, "Oh, you know, a dark suit will be fine." And this suit he had was like this brown tweed coat. Just
what kind of food? Like, what would you say? I mean, is it all pasta based?
Much of it is, but
yeah.
Pasta isn't the same as here.
No,
why not?
The wheat is different.
Just tastier.
The ingredients are so much different. Yeah, you can just. Yeah, I had lasagna probably 3 or 4 times, and every time it was different, yeah. And every time it was great.
But just the, not that it's just the richness of it, right? Or what I'm looking for. But maybe like you said, you know, that's we have farm to table now. That oh, let's get it here. But I mean, that stuff is you know from the backyard.
Yeah,
it's just
so
fresh.
We stayed 2 days at a ranch.
Oh, okay.
And they were
wow.
They were paid to. Raise a particular type of cattle that was kind of an antique that was near extinction.
Okay.
So, and they do that with wheat. There's certain types of wheat that are grown in certain areas. So this is why you get some really significantly different tastes
well, that's,
on the
I
same
mean, over,
type of...
over here, because I remember my grandma used to make her own pasta, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was completely different than the bag of pasta you would buy at so-and-so. Because, like, she would say, well, that's just filler. The pasta over right. here is just something to have, and then the stuff you put on it is... But the Italians always used to want to make sure the pasta itself
yeah.
was
stand
really
alone.
Good. Would stand yeah. alone.
Florence is known for their meat. Steak had a Florentine steak. You buy it by the kilogram, and you get like a 1.3 kilogram, which is shared. It's like 3-inch thick with the bone in.
Okay.
It's been hanging, curing.
Sure.
In the thing
yeah.
until you order it and they slice it off.
Wow, it's
just amazing. You go like, well, I've eaten steak before,
yeah.
but this isn't the same thing.
Wow. So that's the original steak Florentine yeah. type thing then, yeah. right? That's where it's from. What about seafood-wise? Because, again, when I watched that show with Stanley Tucci, he's always at
yeah.
these little seaside little restaurants
yeah,
where they have.
What about that?
I'm not a big seafood eater.
Oh, okay.
My wife did. We were one day on the beach, and most of it was inland, so we weren't.
Okay.
In areas where that was a specialty. But.
And when you think of Italy, think of wine. Did you have wine at every meal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I probably drank more wine in a month than I had in the previous 10 years. I mean.
And how about the coffee in the coffee bars and stuff? I always
yeah.
thought, right?
Cappuccino. And,
oh.
Yeah, espresso, you name it.
It's just better than it is here. I don't know. Is it because I don't know.
You're in the littlest cafe and they got an espresso machine, you know, that's.
Right.
The size of a Volkswagen.
But the yeah. people were nice, generally?
Everyone.
Except the
everyone.
Drivers behind you.
Yeah, well, they didn't express it personally, but.
You could feel it.
None of this?
I feel it, yeah.
We got to set our quick
awesome.
Break. I swear we'll get to why you're here, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff Larson, Green Bay Sail and Paddle. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Jeff Larson, Green Bay Sail and Paddle. We're having a great time talking all about that.
We'll get to it.
We will get to it. But for you can't just come back from 30 days in Italy and expect us not to just absolutely quiz you.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
So you've done some traveling. If you had to make a 25th anniversary or fifth, I guess, anniversary.
Whatever.
Would you pick Italy or would you, are there other countries that you thought, man, we should go there?
Yeah. Well, my wife went to Bali and she just loved that. We've been to Paris and to France multiple times and that's been a favorite. But my wife even said, I think I might like Italy better than France.
And I just want to, what I think is interesting about Italy is you talk about history. I mean, you say the country, I understand that they united, but I mean, that's, they've got some old, old architecture and some beautiful things there. But when you go look at some of these churches, you come here and you look at a basilica, it's like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. There, the next a couple steps and you see another one and another one and another one. And it's amazing how they just keep, one's more beautiful than the next, the artwork and the buildings.
And bigger. And yeah. Right. I mean, we saw spots where Michelangelo was buried, not just where he worked. But yeah, the wealth, the beauty.
Tell me a little bit about that farmhouse you stayed in. See, now that to me is something I would love. Out in the country, in a farmhouse, up in the mountains. Because are they still selling them for like $100?
I didn't see one, but
maybe. But you hear so, and I was going to ask you about that as well, because now those are remote places. This isn't Venice or Florence or anything. But,
no, this was out in the middle of Tuscany, and the last 3 miles was a gravel road, and it was a rough road. We were up and down, and it was a barn. The house that we stayed in had been a barn.
I love that. I love the idea of that.
But I think they want people to live there. They've got some vacancies in these homes.
Well, the young people are moving out. They're moving to the cities.
Right, and they want it. So they give you these homes or sell them for $100. Now, I think there's a couple things that you have to have. One is you can't Airbnb it. You got to live there, so that's going to be your home. And I think you have to have some kind of, John would qualify, some Italian in you.
But another thing they talk about, too, because I watched one of those shows where people go over and do that, and God bless the Italian heritage, but it's like somebody would go for a permit, and they say, hey, come back in 2 weeks. And they go back 2 weeks. Say, what do you want? Well, our permit. Well, we don't know about no permit. Yes, we did. You know what I mean? It's like they're not really.
Right.
Well, you don't want to try to do it at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when they close down. A lot of shops even close.
Yeah.
Because you have your big lunch.
How hot is it over there?
Well, we experienced tremendous weather. It was 85, and then Rome, it was 95. That's 3 days we were there, it was just hot. But it's summer.
So like, what did you do? Like, when you're at that farmhouse out in the Tuscany countryside or whatever, like, what do you do during the course of a day?
Yeah, we went to mineral springs, went and soaked in it. That was, I don't know, maybe 5-6 miles away. It wasn't far.
Okay.
Little hill town. Was again only about 8 miles away, and then there's communities in every direction. We drove probably a half hour, went to Montepulciano. I can't pronounce any of these things, but there was a garden that was the English type garden, kind of like our botanical garden here, just beautiful.
You know, the one place I've heard negative of, though, of people that have traveled over there and were expecting something really beautiful and great, and they said it was almost like a scary city, is Naples. Did you go to Naples at all?
Yeah, we didn't get that far south. Nope.
Yeah.
I heard that was almost like being in one of our cities type. You know what I mean? Where it's like, don't go out at night and one of those kind of things. But when you stayed up in that barn, okay, how much do you think it was in American money?
Under $100 a night.
See, that's awesome, isn't it? Yeah. Did they provide the food?
I tell you, there was fruit trees. We could go out and pick an apricot right off the tree. And I've never been an apricot person. I was like, I can take about three of these and eat them right now. It's like when you pick strawberries fresh versus getting it from the store.
Did you rent a car?
We did.
Okay.
We did.
Then did you get one of those navigational things where it's like, it'll tell you where to.
Yeah, that was a lifesaver.
I'll bet. So it kind of like, was it Alexis or Siri?
But he couldn't put it in English. So how's your Italian?
No, I know.
I'm sure it was. Yeah. I'm sure it was.
We had a Jeep. We had an American vehicle.
Neat.
Oh, that's fun.
I think that's fantastic. I envy you for doing that. I still want to do that someday. I really do.
And tell me who you talked about. You took a tour for 11 days. The rest of it, is that something online or do you have some friends that,
which would you recommend?
That was online, the Rick Steves tour to register for that.
No, I know.
The 17 days after that that we went on our own, we just went and said, let's go in that city and this city. And
really?
We My wife did research. I did research. Sometimes we booked for the same city, but a different place.
give you credit internal for communication. The courage and whatever to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool
that you did that.
Do you have any grappa?
Just once, I think.
How'd you like it?
It was okay. Yeah. Had the lemon, what is it? Lemon chia?
Okay. Yeah.
It's kind of the other.
Okay, one last question, and then we'll actually, I promise we'll talk about Green Bay Sill and Paddle. Okay.
Have to stay for a second segment.
Yeah. You do.
Recommendations you'd give to people that want to go to Italy.
Absolutely do it. Yeah. Just great. Be prepared to navigate plenty of cobblestones and plenty of stairs.
And I think that's important that people understand it's not America. It's not this ADA compliant. It's a lot of walking, and it's steps, and there's not escalators. And I think that's fine. I was fine with it. I was just surprised. It's like, wow, there's some people that were on our tour that couldn't go.
Also, the first floor is zero.
If you have an elevator
and they say you're on the third floor, you're really on the fourth floor because their first floor is zero, and then it's one is on one floor up, two floors up.
Who are you to tell us we're going to be ADA compliant? Really?
Exactly.
Jeff, this is great. Stick around. Green Bay, Sail and Paddle. Back after this. I never let you go. Jeff, okay, thank you for the tour and the wonderful information about traveling throughout Italy. But let's talk a little bit about what you guys do. Green Bay Sail and Paddle. And the number one thing that I'm so impressed with you guys is you take some young people who 99% would never have a chance to get on the water and do the things that they get to do through your organization. And I know you guys are knee-deep in that. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, happy to. Yeah, we work with many nonprofits, and we work with children of all abilities. So, you know, yesterday we had an autism group in.
Awesome.
From Counting Stars, and they were with us last year, and they're going to come back next Tuesday as well with a second group. But sometimes that's more of a ride.
Yeah.
With other young children, we're doing more of a class, teaching how to sail and you know, some of the intricacies of putting the sails up.
Where else would they have an opportunity like that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We had two groups from Eisenhower that, again, and we had an organization, a company in that area that sponsored that two groups. And it was from, it came from a bus driver said, I'd love to give my kids something, an incentive that if they behave on the bus, we reward them at the end of the season. And that's what grew out of that was coming sailing. And
fantastic.
And some of those kids, pick on Eisenhower, but lower income kids maybe don't have the exposure to sailing, but just to the whole water, you know?
That's what I mean. Just getting on the water.
I think that's awesome that you expose those kids to that. And you go up to high school kids too, right?
Yep. Last year we had middle school, summer school through this Green Bay school system. We didn't have anything this year. I think they're funding they were unsure of.
Right.
But we have all age groups. We have adult classes for kayaking and sailing. We have a couples night, a family night sailing. We have a regular youth group that's every Friday morning. So that's a neat way because those kids come regularly. So they're learning things and really getting an appreciation for the bay, the water, and sailing.
Well, you know, Jim and I always talk about the way to really see a city is from the water. You know what I mean? Because people don't get a chance to see it that way very often.
It's just a different perspective.
Completely different perspective.
And it's looks great. You know, I mean, it just does. I mean, yeah. From the air too, right? It's like, wow, this is great looking laid out city, and from the water, and you can get that appreciation. That kayaking is it's doing better in Green Bay. We could do more of it, but you got to get a lot of people coming in for that, right?
Yeah, we don't really do a whole lot on kayaking. There's some other organizations.
Yes, that just been on here.
I mean, the Y in different places do that
right.
too. Yeah,
yeah. You know, we're happy to do it. We've had the kayaks in the pool, like at Sybil Hop, for teaching a class right. again and getting some
but, so
idea. But
people pay to do this, but the people who can't, you have fundraisers. I know you were in Give Big Green Bay this year.
Yes.
Which was great. Other things that you do, you guys are pretty active with fundraising, are you not?
Yeah, that's a year-round activity, and we've been quite successful this year. A couple things have come out of that. Certainly the nonprofit groups and that, we try to get them as much as possible that we pay the way. Sometimes they pay $100 out of what would be a $1,000 type fee.
Right.
We can get individual scholarships, so any kid that wants to come, we don't want to deny them. It's all about accessibility, inclusivity, you know, and then it's safety and having fun once they get there.
And it's so unique.
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, everyone gets it.
I mean, I've never had a chance to do something like that.
You know, we're ready to take you out there.
I know. Yeah.
You don't have to know how to swim either.
Well, that would, then he qualifies.
We'll put a life jacket on.
Yeah, one of those big ones.
Hey, but you haven't been.
For like PT 109. Remember the old movie, PT 109?
But your organization isn't that old. Like, how long have you
been? Yeah, 9 years now, 2016. Right. It was formalized. It was around in a formation before that, but it wasn't really didn't do classes. They were talking about it. They talked about it for years. So yeah, we'll have our 10th anniversary next year. And
there's gotta be a bit for somebody that's never done it. If you guys take them out and got the full sails going and you got the perfect type of wind or whatever, that's gotta be such an exhilarating feeling for some of these kids who have never experienced anything like that. I mean, I've done it just from doing stories on it for TV or whatever, those types of things. But for these kids, for that first experience of that sail just being full and taken, that's gotta be something really special, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, again, there's some apprehension for some people.
Sure.
Not knowing how to swim or never being on a boat, and they sit fairly low in the water. The bay is shallow enough that we have to take them off the beach. So they got to walk into maybe knee or waist deep to get on the boat before it's deep enough that we can sail. But yeah, it isn't necessarily just children, because adults too that haven't been in it. When you get out there and you can get it flying across the water, you know, when you get that wind filling the sail, it's just a wonderful experience.
And then with these students, middle school, you really leaned into last year. But besides, you know, nature, the beauty of the water, the appreciation, they learn some STEM things too. I mean, there's the math and science to that, especially, you know, setting sail and right.
Earlier this year, we had a STEM camp.
Oh.
We usually have that every summer. It was a half day for the full week. But yeah, there's segments we teach on buoyancy and the sail. Actually, with the sail, you can sail against the wind, you know, at an angle. It's more like an airplane than most people realize on how the pressure works to get the boat moving forward. So yeah, there's different elements and different segments of science that we talk about.
That's awesome.
It is, right?
Do you teach them knots? Knot tying?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I struggle with that, but yeah.
So do I.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. I can't even tie my shoes without doing bunny ears.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, those are kind of things that somebody, it's like not everybody would know how to do some of these things. And I think it's kind of cool to have some of those skills that very few people have.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting when we have classes that are more than one session. You know, our intro class is 1 3-hour session. But like the kids in the Narwhal youth group that come on Friday mornings, you know, some of them are 8, 9 years old, and now they're old hands. They get it there. Let's get the boats. Let's get the trailer. Get them down on the beach. They're rigging the sails up. It's not necessary to give them any instruction anymore. They've been there 2, 3 times. Now they know it.
That's fantastic. That's
and these kids, awesome. they grasp it so fast. Yeah. That's always
so
fun to see.
Cool.
And that's a life. You know, what's nice about that, it's not like football. And football's great, but that has a beginning and an end usually. You're not playing that when you're 40, 50.
Yeah.
But that sailing is
lifetime.
Yeah. We have instructors that have started as students and then have come and volunteered because they're too young to work a job. And then now they're junior instructors with us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How expensive is it if somebody wants to keep doing that and get their own boat?
Well, boats can be a bottomless pit, so you can spend as much money as you want. But like a boat that we're on, catamaran, you can probably find them used for $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000.
Okay.
If you're getting a large boat, they can be like yachts.
Yeah,
you know,
I got
millions.
Around the country, just they sail. That's their thing. Is he's retired and like goes different countries sailing.
Some of those people, I will say, sailing. I watched this thing on. It's a YouTube type thing.
Gee,
this
airplanes.
Young girl from like I think she's from the United States. She's going across the Pacific by herself sailing.
Yeah,
yeah. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
we have an instructor this year, 2-3 years out of college. She's from New Zealand. And she's sailing with us because her mother grew up in Green Bay.
Wow.
On Emily Street. And her name is Emily. Named
okay.
Because her mother had such a good time in Green Bay. Great experience. But living in New Zealand now.
Wow. But those people that go these cross, I mean, you never know with the weather or a storm. Or,
oh, yeah.
And they just have the courage to do that.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the furthest you've ever gone?
In the bay.
You know, you're talking about how shallow the bay is. And we actually had the Coast Guard Auxiliary on here. We have them on a fairly regular basis. Yeah. And they talk about people don't realize if they're new to boating, how shallow some parts are when you're first leaving, you know, the Fox here and getting into the bay and like the stumps that are just below the, you know, and all those kind of things. They talked about a story. One of the old Packers was telling a story at a banquet one time. And he said they had a morning off of practice. They had a game the night before. And the guy said, hey, let's go fishing. And it's like, okay, how do we go fishing here? You know, so they rent all this stuff from up in, I think it was Dykesville. And they go out and they're having some beers and it's like the Sunday afternoon stuff. And the guy's screwing around and they lost the paddles. And they're drifting and they're like, oh my God, Lombardi's going to cut us. He's going to kill us. He's going to whatever. And the guy's like, I can't swim. We can't. And the guy's like, so they see this little kid fishing. He goes, get help. And the kid's like, what? Get help. No oars. No oars, get help. And the kid yells back, walk in. He said it was like up to their waist the whole time they're out there.
The area we sail is 3 to 5 feet deep.
Right. That's what I mean. It's probably the same area.
And then there's a sandbar here and there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're out 100 yards and it's this deep. And then all of a sudden it's 6 inches.
So it's perfect for training, huh?
You got to know where you are.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as like where people have to be, it's
like I said, safety is our number one concern.
Yeah. So what do you teach them on? What do you start with? And
we're on Hobie Waves. Mm-hmm. It's a catamaran, so it's very stable. At the top of the sail, there's a floater. So if you capsize, it isn't like some boats that you'll go totally upside down, you know, 180 degrees. This will only take it to the side. When we have them in a class, we teach them how to write from a capsize.
Wow.
They're in the water and they learn how to do that.
So. I'll tell you something that of all the things where you say jobs you could never do, will never do, would never. I was watching this thing about the elite Coast Guard rescue boats. Out of 40,000 people in the Coast Guard, I think there's 110 of these guys. That's how hard it is.
Pretty elite.
And they take these boats, these rescue boats, up to the Columbia River, where it's you had so many different confluences of water coming in that the waves are just ridiculously crazy. And it's at the point where those boats, even in training a lot of times, they'll hit these things. If they get hit sideways, the attitude is always try to see these big swells coming in, take them on, you know, head first. Don't let them hit you on the side. And with these boats, they train them. They go over, sometimes completely over and up again. Yeah. It's mind-boggling how great these boats are because they're buoyant enough, but they train to go all the way over and then pop back up. I mean, When you're really experienced, you know how to do that stuff.
Well, for any boating, sailing too, you would head into the wave. You'd want to cut it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want it to hit you sideways.
That, right.
If you got big water.
Yeah.
Hey, we're over this weekend up in Elkhart Lake and a lot of windsurfers. That was a thing, then it wasn't a. Do you teach that as well? That looks like so much fun. And boy, were they flying.
Yeah, we do not. Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to go to Sheboygan where they really have some of that. Get out on Michigan and
well, I mean, Sheboygan gets that. You know, I mean, they surf in Sheboygan in the spring.
Yeah.
I mean, they get waves down there. That's crazy.
But I was just surprised how fast they were going. I mean,
oh yeah,
That I've never done that. I think I want to try
I think you
that.
Should have tried it.
I know. I think I want to.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should get done it this weekend and try it.
But I want to learn how to do it first. That's nah, what, you yeah. don't teach
don't
that.
Don't waste the no. time, Jim. Jim, right, get one right. and go on out yeah, there and I let it that. Rip.
You can start with sailing on. With us and get the feel and all then, right. then work
Jeff,
up to
one
that.
Final okay. thing for you, buddy. How can people help you guys out?
Yeah, well, we certainly can use financial help, but we'd like to just get them out on the water so they can experience it and help spread the word.
How do they contact you?
We can go to GBSail, S-A-I-L, .org,
Beautiful.
Our website.
And again, thanks you do for some of these young kids that would never have an opportunity to be on the water, yeah. any other situation. That's, that part is awesome what you guys do, and I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I think we have 15 groups this year.
Phenomenal.
CP Center, Bridge the Gap, Counting Stars.
Yeah. Autism.
We All Rise.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
It's great.
Thanks for doing what you're doing. Jeff Larson, Green Bay Seal and Paddle. Please check them out. If you can make a contribution, you'd be helping out some great young kids that could really use a helping hand. We'll be back with more Mind on the Mayor after this. Semi-talk kind of live,
baby. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WSS, and the Civic Media app. That was fun. That was good stuff. Fun talking about Italy. Fun talking about the Green Bay Sail and Paddle. And I just, you know, if there are so many organizations around this area that really do so much for
yeah.
people that need a little bit of a helping hand, whatever way it is.
And I've known Jeff for 40 years, I think. We said we worked both at KI for a while. He could... not do anything.
Right.
I mean, he's retired. He's got enough money. That's so great that they give back. And, of course, he does like sailing. I mean, he found something that he likes. But
instead of just doing it for themselves.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. He not only shares it with, but he shares it with people who would never, ever experience it.
Exactly. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, me too. He's a good guy. So, yeah, that's where I was running back in here. We're setting up a lunch because I want to spend a little bit more time because he's
So you want a sailboard? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, yeah, that's what I want to do. I was going to do that, but it wasn't rented from where I was. We were at the Ostoff. And
do you need lessons?
That's what I think I do, because I think you're balanced. Remember?
Do you have any sailboarders out there?
It's more windsurfing.
Well, that's what I mean. What did I say?
Sailboarding, whatever the hell.
Is that sailboarding?
That's sailboarding. It's a new term.
No, it's not. That's the name of the sport, sailboarding.
I think it's called windsurfing. Well, anyway, I want to take things, lessons I before I do that, though, because I don't want to tip
seen,
over.
I've seen them. That's what I mean. And the thing collapses and they go over.
I bet that happens a lot.
I think it's a lot harder than it looks.
But those guys, and I was surprised how fast they were going. I don't want to go that fast, but they must have just, it's all in the angle
of
sail.
I'd like to move to Jamaica, and I want to be one of those guys on those rafts. They stand and they pull. Push the people, the tourists, up the rivers and everything. Those guys are in such unbelievable shape.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah, I could get in such incredible shape.
So do you want to oar the raft or do you want to get in shape? I think that's...
Both. I'm going to be the guy on the thing.
He was in shape before he
got
on
the raft. It's almost like a gondola type thing.
Yeah.
And you're going upstream and everything? That seems like the greatest workout.
That gondola thing would be cool like in Venice because it's, the water's not deep and it's just tips. And
I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do that. I think that's going to be my next workout type thing.
Yeah. But what they do at that Green Bay, that's just so cool. And there's some other kids that they bring on. And we talked about kids, Civil Hop and some kids that have some challenges. But there's some kids that are lower economic that would never, ever experience that from some of these schools. And they get some scholarship money. And like you said, they may charge $100 for something that costs $1,000. And that's okay. It's okay to have a little skin in the game, and to take those kids out sailing on Saturdays, that's very cool stuff. And it depending on how much your sailboat costs, that's not the most. We talk about how expensive sports are. I mean, you look at how expensive hunting has gotten with put training dogs and all these crazy guns, and I'm not a big
hunter. License.
It's just everything.
I can't remember. Was it $170 I think for my license up in Michigan?
Yeah, and then.
It's crazy and expensive.
Ammo's gotten expensive, but...
Fill up a boat these days to go fishing on a Winnebago.
That's exactly...
See how much that's going to cost you.
Whereas, Not a lot of gas tanks on sailboats. I mean, what's cool is that if you can get something, and that could be a really nice hobby.
I saw some pictures people did 4th of July right before the fireworks and everything. On the river.
Here? Well, that's cool.
Sailing around out there, and it's like, what a, seeing the city in the background and then the fireworks and everything.
That's cool.
Phenomenal. I've done a couple of stories, like I said, on sailboats. For the big regatta type things they've had around here or whatever, but I've never done it like for pleasure, but it seems like that would be like if somebody else was doing the work. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of kicking back and having a cocktail or something.
Oh, that's
that
living.
Seems like that'd be the most relaxing time. And it's different from being on a powerboat, a speedboat.
Oh,
or, you know what I mean?
Not even close.
No. I would think that do people rent those? I think that would be the coolest thing that you could rent is take somebody out on a Sunday afternoon for 2 hours and just sail, and you can have your little basket.
But sure, you can buy
your
those.
Your cheese, your wine.
No, you'd buy those excursions, those 4 hours.
But around
things.
Here?
Well, up in Marinette, I know they have
them. Do they?
I don't know if they have that in Green Bay.
I've never heard of that around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, you can. You do that. But when
if
you go
I become
up to,
a sailor, if I learn how to sail, I'm going to do that.
Okay. That. I think there might be a market. It's like a fishing tour, right?
You're right.
For 4 hours, 6 hours. Whatever.
But I mean, you know what? I'd have my own. I'd get some of your good hot dogs. No, you know what? I can't have that on there.
No.
Maybe can you have a grill on a sailboat?
I would guess not.
Probably.
But
not.
I don't know. That's up to the captain.
But I mean, it's like, here's your menu. Here, would you like some nice brats? Some nice, whatever. Johnny juice. Little
prosciutto, some wine.
Yeah.
That could be a fun afternoon.
Can you imagine a sunset sailing cruise around this area?
There you go.
Is there such a thing, people? Because if not, I'm going to put one together.
Okay, just no rush, people, but just, yeah. That would be a fun couple thing to do.
Well, even like you, you talked so much fun you had last summer, just going on that boat from here through the locks down to Wrightstown.
That's fun, yeah.
And you just kick back and enjoyed it?
Ryan's doing that this afternoon.
Oh, really?
The other thing that I liked, I told you, the Ostop was just renting a pontoon boat.
Yeah?
You know, it's $800 for the day.
Wow.
Well, I don't think that's that. That's what somebody else said to me.
That seems like a lot of money.
Do you think?
I do.
To me.
$800 for one day?
Con, you think that's a lot?
I mean, that's not bad if it's a nice boat, if it's really nice.
But $800 for one? You can fly to New York and back for $800.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
so you're going around the lake for $800?
Stop at different places.
I think that's high. I think that's really high. I'm going to buy some pontoons. I'm going to have them for $400.
And you got to store it. How come I thought that was a good deal?
I think you got taken. I think, folks, help us out on this. $800 for a pontoon for a day?
Yeah.
My God.
It was the holiday, so it was $900, but still.
Okay, so the pontoon probably cost what? $8,000?
Well, yeah, I don't.
So 10 times he paid for the pontoon. Everything is pure profit
after
that.
Okay, good idea. I don't want a pontoon boat.
Got this one. That seems really pricey.
Okay, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to set a quick break. We're back with more. Back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.